T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Hey, I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
All right, let's rock the Casbah here. We've got Megan McBride in studio, Democratic strategist with Show Me Victories.
Good morning.
And Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show.
Good morning, everybody.
And let's get right to the topics here on this crisp fall morning. We found out yesterday that it's 20 criminal cases so far that have been dropped by the St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner's office based on her list of police officers she says aren't credible to testify in court. The original list of 28 officers released in August is now up to 29 officers. Six are no longer with the department. Of the 20 cases dropped, the Circuit Attorney's office says most are drug-related. Some are low-level gun cases. Charlie, any concerns about the Circuit Attorney dropping these cases?
Yeah, absolutely. It's no way to run a railroad, for sure. And it's a real crisis. You just can't have a situation where you have police officers who are out there working, by the way. You know, it's not like they're on the sidelines. They're out working, making arrests. The arrests go to the circuit attorney. And for some reason, not specified, she won't prosecute. Okay, that's probably, if you look up dysfunction in the dictionary, this would be like an example that's used. It's really bad. It's very bad.
And there's still so much information we have not received from this first announcement back in August that there were officers that she deemed not credible. I mean, have they been gone through an investigation within the department? Has she said any more about why they're not credible? What's really concerning to me is I don't think that right now in the city of St. Louis, at least for myself, a lot of people would consider any gun crime a low-level crime. We have a major problem with guns in this city. And so to just toss out something because you deem it low level or not a risk, but you don't tell anybody really much more details about these officers, I have a major problem with that. It's very concerning.
And don't forget, it's not as if there's nothing she can do. There is a federal remedy, some steps that she can go through with a protocol if she has concerns and she wants these officers to be on the so-called Brady list. Or she can go through internal affairs. There's also a civilian review board, which was instituted, which really surprises me because, my God, for 15 years, all we heard was we need a civilian review board again and again and again. Now we have one. I think it's been a year or so. And it's like everyone's bypassing it. Well, if you've got problem officers, and there are some, I'm sure, bring them to the CRB and take it from there.
Well, that's what's frustrating. You would think she would want to use the tools that we have in place so that the public feels informed and aware of the decisions she's making, because she did run on a very, you know, liberal agenda. And so why wouldn't you come out here and tell us, hey, these are the steps I'm taking. Here's why. Here's how we're handling it. And do it very methodically if you're going to do these types of actions as a circuit attorney. It's frustrating. I hope she starts to give us a lot more answers than we're getting.
I don't know if do we know if she's done any media interviews? I know she's not done any with KMOX.
Well, I do know that she was on Don Marsh's program, but I didn't listen, so I don't know if she addressed this in particular.
Yeah, nothing sticks out that I remember her really coming out and saying, I'm going to walk you through this process from A to Z, and here's what's going on. I can't recall that happening recently.
Well, another topic when it comes to gun crime, and this is something that I know Charlie has been pretty involved in too. We're talking about the business owners on North Broadway and the ongoing problems that they're seeing up there with people, you know, just driving up and down, taking over entire parking lots and property and all the craziness that is happening. St. Louis City officials had a meeting yesterday with the business owners at Greg's Bar and Grill, the issue of crime front and center. And the question was, have measures put in place over the past couple of months increased safety in that area? Greg's Bar and Grill owner John Reinberg says there are still a lot of problems.
200 to 300 cars that take over a 4-mile area of road, parking on the sidewalks, on private properties, drinking, partying, gunfire. Trash, gunfire.
Now, one of the other versions of the story we had this morning some of the business owners did admit that gunfire at least was down from several hundred rounds a night to a few rounds a night, which I don't know. I don't hang out there, but several hundred rounds a night of people just firing off guns. Charlie, do you think that this has increased safety? They put up a bunch of concrete barriers. The business owners don't necessarily like those because they're intrusive and they're ugly. I'm not really sure what the answer is.
Well, it was a huge crowd, and a lot of the participants were from City Hall. The mayor was there, Judge Jimmy Edwards, the public safety director, as you mentioned, Chief John Hayden, Jamie Wilson of Streets and Lighting, Todd Walterman, the fire chief was there, Steve Conway, the chief of staff, and there were others who addressed the packed Greg's Bar and Grill. I think probably 80 or so businesses represented. And it's true. Judge Jimmy Edwards said, look, we've made a lot of arrests. We've taken a lot of guns away. We've really made, in the last month or so, a lot of progress when it comes to seizing guns and in getting involved. But the police, the intensive police force, will be pulled back in about a month. And the city suggested that to curb the crime, they put in bike lanes and planters. And the business community really wants increased police presence 52 weeks a year. They don't want the police to pull back after a month or so. So the city said, well, maybe we can form some sort of partnership. We'll try this bike lanes or the planters, and you pay half, we'll pay half, something like that. And I think the businesses are going to form an association, and they're going to decide, you know, as a group, what they want to do. But they really want the police. Maybe they'll end up hiring additional security. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not familiar too much with this situation. I've been following it, you know, I think just in the paper and hearing you talk about it, Charlie. But I can definitely see why they're frustrated. Some of the images that you saw of the trash after some of these evenings were a little bit, they take you back. It's a lot happening up there, and it's a hard situation because there's not a ton of activity all the time when you drive that stretch. I drive that stretch, you know, maybe once a month whenever I head up to North County, and you can see where it would be a difficult one to remedy. But it's very encouraging that the city is finally, you know, kind of come in and working together to help them find some kind of solution. I hope they get there.
Although if there's that much traffic and cruising and gunfire, who wants to ride your bike there? I mean, who's going to use the bike lanes? That's what I thought when I heard that.
Yeah, it's probably not a destination for a lot of bike riders. I think it's just a way to narrow that area, which probably has six lanes, including two parking lanes. So down you have four lanes. They want to narrow it so the police officers actually stand behind these jersey barriers, and they can throw out those like tacks.
Uh-huh.
And the jersey barrier protects the, you know, the police officer, and then they can throw that out, and then the cruiser or the drag racer will roll over that, and the tires will pop.
Wow.
Guess what?
What?
Overtime continues.
You gotta be kidding.
Really?
Really, really.
On KMOX.
Hey, by the way, the KMOX Southeast Missouri State University Student of Achievement Program in its 26th year. To find out more about how to nominate a junior high school level student who deserves recognition, go to KMOX.com. I was just having this discussion yesterday with my doctor about the high price of prescription drugs. They're going through the roof, and I'm not really sure there's any reason other than profits, but those of you on insulin, we feel your pain. We're hearing like $1,500, $2,000 a month for insulin. And the government, in an effort to increase pressure on drug makers to lower costs for U.S. consumers, said it will propose requiring companies to include the price of their prescription medicines in TV ads. Megan, do you like this proposal, and do you think that would make any difference?
I don't know that it would really make a whole lot of difference. I mean, if you see a commercial for a drug that you have to have no matter what, is the price going to do anything more than just depress you? I mean, if you have to buy it, you're going to have to buy it. I wish that we could figure out something a little stronger to get this under control. It really, I mean, it's almost criminal that it should cost $2,000 a month to get insulin if you have diabetes. It's shocking to me that we're accepting that as a normal thing in 2018 in the United States.
Probably not going to get much better. You know, those who dispense drugs seem to be consolidating, you know, with Express Scripts in our own backyard kind of leading the way. How many of the, you know, local drugstores are now competing against each other for price? Probably not too many. And then a lot of our listeners are probably on health plans that require you, if you have drugs purchased over a long period of time, you got to go through Express Scripts or whoever the pharmacy benefits manager is. Then I think we still have the law that the government cannot drive a deal and buy in bulk like Canada does, right? Canadian consumers benefit from their government saying, okay, we represent a lot of people here. We're going to ask for a volume discount. And I think our law specifically says that Uncle Sam cannot do that. Who put that in?
You know what else I found out yesterday? That apparently a lot of states, and I believe Missouri is included, have gag rules on pharmacists to protect the pharmaceutical companies. So if you had a drug, say, that cost you $500 a month, but there was another version of it that was cheaper, they're not allowed to tell you unless you specifically ask, is there a cheaper version? They can't tell you. Because then you would get the cheaper one.
Yeah, I have. I've heard that in a couple of places. I read a few different articles about that. And that comes down to, you know, you don't necessarily know if the generic becomes available for, they don't advertise it. So talk about advertising the price of the regular drug. Why don't we just advertise when there's a generic option? It's unbelievable.
All right, let's get a couple of Donald Trump-related items in here before we move on. But yesterday, the president was attacking two female critics on Twitter. He labeled Senator Elizabeth Warren a phony, and he called Stormy Daniels a horse face. However, according to a Bloomberg report, this may be a strategic move to energize his base of older white men ahead of the November elections. You buy that argument, Charlie?
I don't know. The guy seems to rally the base pretty well. Apparently, a lot of people are showing up at the president's rally, so there's that. I don't believe in name-calling. It's possible that Senator Warren is a phony in the sense that there's a possibility. While she claimed to be Native American while on the law school staffs at University of Pennsylvania and Harvard, you know, she might have been 1,024th Cherokee. So that I think that's quite questionable, but I would never call someone a horse face, even if I, you know, they were my enemy. I mean, certainly not the president of the United States. And, but he does something. He communicates in very blunt language and he's got a lot of followers.
This is his, you know, hobby. This is what he does. It's not surprising. It's what he's always done. He did it before he was president, before the 2016 election. I don't know if I would say that he really thinks about this in terms of a strategy for his base, but it certainly is a distraction method. And if I were, you know, saying that the Saudis did nothing wrong and hey, they've told me and I believe them, I would probably be calling names to distract from that too.
All right. The president has said that he will not accept the blame if his party loses control of the House. He says his campaigning and endorsements have helped Republican candidates. If the Democrats can retake the House, do you think it's Trump's fault, Megan?
No, not necessarily. I think we know the trends are that whenever, you know, whoever's in power as president, the other side usually has a bump in the off year. I hope that people are in the independent, more moderate wing of the Republican Party, if it still exists, that people are maybe kind of seeing the president for who he is now and changing their mind. But I don't think ultimately it's going to be one thing Donald Trump did or did not do.
I think it is. I think President Trump is on the ballot this midterm election. You're for him or you're against him. And the people you vote for, largely, do you want a Democrat in there who might impeach the president or thwart his judicial picks, or in other cases, do you think, you know, the president's a great guy, you want to put him in, or do you think he's a terrible guy, do you want to try and get rid of him? I think that this election is all about Trump in November.
Overtime continues.
That's incredibly cool.
That's awesome.
On KMOX.
All right, it's 8:54. Megan McBride, Democratic strategist, Show Me Victories, and Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show. So the Democrats are fully focused on the midterm elections. They've really got to get the vote out and keep the focus on the issues. So why is Hillary Clinton on CBS Sunday talking about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and Elizabeth Warren's taking her DNA test and Kamala Harris is courting people in Iowa and South Carolina? I mean, are we muddling the message here, Megan?
We're doing what Democrats usually do very well. And we have a tendency as a party to just not be cohesive, not be on the same team, not be strategic. And I think we've seen the negative impacts of that over and over again. We need a strong team captain to get out there and get everybody on the same page. It's very frustrating to watch.
When you saw Hillary Clinton on this interview, Charlie, did you ask yourself, why is she doing this now?
Well, don't forget, she got more votes than Donald Trump. So she's pretty popular. I mean, more popular than the president overall. Just didn't win the electoral game, right? So, I would think a lot of Democrats find her to be a role model. Am I wrong?
No, it's not really if you like her or not. I voted for Hillary Clinton. I think she's a role model. I think she's, I look up to her a lot, but you don't need her to be the focus right now. We need to be focused on the people who are on the ballot. We need to be focused on taking back the Congress. And any time that you get a distraction like this, it's fodder for the president. I'm surprised he hasn't been, you know, all over that. And it takes away from what we need to be focused on. And so that's why it gets frustrating.
All right, real quick, did either of you happen to tune into ABC last night to see The Conners, which is the reboot of Roseanne without Roseanne? Charlie?
No, I was reading Major Garrett's book.
No, I did not watch it.
I did not either, although it is getting good reviews. We'll see what the ratings were like. I haven't been able to pull them up yet, the overnights, but we'll see how The Conners, with a very svelte-looking John Goodman these days. He's looking like he's lost a bunch of weight, so good for him. All right, it is 8:56, and Charlie Brennan holds forth after the news at the top.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.